Last time I shared a testimony about when God asked me to put my house in order. And He spoke to me about different parts of my life. He spoke to me about my marriage. He spoke to me about my parenting. He spoke to me about the discipline of studying the Word, about how to be Spirit-led, about how to honor Him in my finances, and how to submit under leadership. And like I shared, it was really hard. It was a really hard thing to do. But in that moment, when I got that instruction, I had to face reality. I had to do a reality check. And then God gave me a plan to follow of what He wanted me to do. I started to see small wins. I started to see bigger wins. And they became bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes I would fall in the instructions that He gave me, but I would always reset. I might have whinged a bit, but I would always come to a point where I would reset and get back to the instructions that He gave me. And like I said, some of those things I was struggling with, they are now some of my daily disciplines today. And I thank Him for that. So today, I'm walking in most of those things that He told me to. But some of you might wonder, how did I hear God? Like, how did He actually speak to me? How do I know He spoke to me? And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I did hear God speak to me. So today I'm sharing on how to hear God's voice, the practicals of actually how to hear God's voice. And the prayer we did at the start, that's the authority, that's the power you and I have. So whatever situation is in your life, don't be defeated and think, oh no, there's no way out. You have the authority to change that situation. You have the power to change that situation. But that power comes from prayer. But prayer is not one-sided. Prayer is two-way communication. So there's us praying, but there's also us hearing what God is saying about that situation. In John 10, verse 27 to 28, it reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." So if you are a born-again Christian, you hear the voice of God. You hear the voice of God. That's a fact. You and I, we hear the voice of God. So how did I know that God, how did God speak to me in like I shared, when He spoke that word? It was through impressions. It was through some of the things. I would just get a knowing in my heart that God is saying this. And when He said, put your house in order, it was just a phrase that came to my thought. And I grabbed it. I'm like, put my house in order. I remember writing it down. I'm like, put my house in order. What is put my house in order? Does He want me to clean? Does He want me to dust? Putting my house, that was part of it, but it was bigger. So I got that word, put my house in order. Then I wrote it down. And then I'm like, okay, God, what do you mean by put my house in order? And then He started to say, in your marriage, do this, do this. In your parenting, I want you to do this. In your finances, I want you to do this. In your health, I want you to do this. And once I had the list, it was overwhelming. But because God is the one who had told me what to do, the next part of that conversation was, okay, this is what you want me to do. God, I'm here. You're asking me to go there. What is it that I need to do in the middle? So in Hebrews 5, verse 14, it reads, "Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." So just as a small baby, we all start as small spiritual babies. And we need to train our senses to hear the voice of God. So in the voice of God, for most of, I think for all of us, it doesn't come natural. We have to be, the way we learn to speak, the way we've learned to walk in the natural, we need to do the same in the spirit. So, and just as we have five senses in the natural, we have five senses in the spiritual as well. So how do we practice hearing the, how do we get better at hearing the voice of God? The first thing is to practice. Practice when you're praying in the morning. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do today? And then you just have a moment of silence and He'll speak to you. It will come as an impression. It will come as a thought. It will come as a song. It will come as a verse. The thing we have to do is we need to pay attention to what's happening in our thought life so that we can know if it is God that is speaking to us. And the more you act, the more confident you get to hear God's voice. So step out, keep trying. When babies are learning to walk and they fall, they don't give up. Parents, you don't condemn your child and say, you failed, you've just fallen. The same way, God will not condemn you. He will not rebuke you for missing hearing what he said when you're trying to sharpen those skills. So just as we encourage and celebrate the process that babies go through to reach maturity, God encourages you and I and celebrates every baby step we take in walking lives, in walking and to communicate with him. So there's some beliefs that I've had, and some of you might have, around hearing the voice of God. The first one is, God does not speak to me. That is a lie. God speaks to you. The difference is, are we listening to what he is saying? So God speaks to you, God speaks to me. But are we listening to what he's saying? Another ungodly belief is, yes, God is speaking, but I cannot hear him. That is another lie from the enemy. God speaks and you hear. The thing is, we need to train to hear what God's voice sounds like. Another ungodly belief and lie from the enemy is, God only speaks to certain people. Or God doesn't speak anymore. He spoke through the prophets of the old, and God stopped speaking with the apostles. That is a lie. Do you know, for you and I to walk our most victorious lives, we need to have those continual conversations with God. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that if we connect with God, we're literally getting heavenly downloads down here on earth. And God's word is true. It is everlasting. It is never a lie. So whatever situation you are facing, if you spend time and just say, God, what are you saying about this situation? What are you saying about my children? What are you saying about my studies? What are you saying about my career? And you spend time waiting on God and he tells you, that is like getting answers to the most difficult exam in the world. So when you start walking, you have the word that God has spoken to you. And another ungodly belief. People, do you know this? Someone in the Bible fleeced, said, God, if it is you, let this be wet in the morning. Or if it's you, let this part be dry. As much as that might sound spiritual, okay, I'll give you a practical. You say, God, if you want me to marry John, let 5 red cars pass there. That is not a good way to hear from God. Because if the enemy hears you say that and you knows John is not the right person for you, 5 red cars will pass. So in hearing God, let's not test God that way. Actually just say, God, what are you saying about this situation? And then just wait on him. In our world, you know, it seems more acceptable or more common to talk about the supernatural from the devil's side. It seems, in the greater world, it seems acceptable, like people will believe in witches and warlords. But the moment you start to talk about the Holy Spirit and angels, sometimes people look at you funny. That is the enemy that has distorted the truth of the word. God is the ultimate supernatural human beings, and he's got more power than anything in the realm of the enemy. So you and I need to partner with him. We need to partner with God so that we execute the plan that he has on this earth through you and I. So God's realm of the spirit weighs more than any other realm. I know some of us might fear delving. You're like, oh, that's a bit, I don't want to delve in there. Well, you are a weak Christian. I'm sorry. You will be a weak Christian who will execute weak strategies that will result in weak solutions or no solutions at all. If you and I are going to conquer, we need to be spiritually connected to the Almighty God. In Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17, it reads, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. So God spoke to Peter. To Peter, he might have thought, oh, that's just the thought I'm having. The Bible doesn't tell us that God spoke in a big audible voice. It was a thought that came. God spoke through Peter's thoughts and told him who Jesus was. So you and I, we need to learn to hear the voice of God. We need to pay attention to our thoughts. So at any one time, there's three people speaking through your thoughts. It's either you, it's either God, or it's either the devil. But we need to discern to work out which of these three is speaking to our through our thoughts at any one time. And when God speaks through our thoughts, it's so quick. You really have to catch it. You really have to catch it. And it takes, like I said, we need to practice hearing the voice of God. You start with the small things and say, God, what do you want to say about this? And as you get familiar, it says, my sheep know my voice. So we want to train ourselves to the point that you are in a crowded mall and God will speak a word and you will know that is God. But you can't just start hearing this is God. You have to start in the quiet places. You have to, like, there's friends that will call me, 20 years I haven't spoken to them. Immediately I hear their voice. I'm like, hi, Mary, how are you? Because I know what their voice sounds like. On the 28th of September 2018, there was an earthquake hit Indonesia. And I'm just going to show a small clip of one of the pilots.
Because of who you are.
Commercial pilot Rico Setamafela, a devout Christian, hums worship songs during his flights. But moments before the earthquake and tsunami hit Indonesia last month, he felt the urge to sing aloud.
Because of who you are. That seems like saying, hey, just praise me and worship me.
Captain Mafela said he saw nothing unusual as he approached Palu that day, other than strong winds that prompted a split decision to circle before landing. That delayed him landing by 9 minutes. As passengers departed and Mafela prepared for his next flight, he heard the voice again.
Get out of this place. I mean, yeah, depart early.
Captain Mafela wondered if it was just his imagination or something else. Regardless, he obeyed what he had heard and took off 3 minutes earlier than the scheduled departure time. That decision literally saved him and his 148 passengers.
Quake start on the Donggala area 1755, 5:55 p.m. I push back at 5:52. The wave from the earthquake reached Palu 7.4, 7.7. This is exactly after Palu.
Those 3 minutes were crucial. After Captain Mafela's plane was safely airborne, this control tower started to cave in because of the strong earthquake, forcing air traffic controller Antonius Ago to jump from the fourth floor. He was a hero. Unfortunately, he died due to internal injuries. At the time, Captain Mafela and his passengers had no idea what was taking place below them. Later, Mafela realized his cell phone camera had captured a view of waves starting to form into tsunamis that struck central Sulawesi.
Those runway cracked behind me. It's around 1.5 to 2 meters. Behind the runway, that's where the liquefactions only happened.
Captain Mafela is glad he listened and obeyed.
So much. God reveals everything. You are ready for just 1 or 2 seconds, it could be a disaster. I don't need to prove that God is alive. I don't need to prove that God is here. I've seen it. It's more than enough for me.
Lucille Pelusen, CBN News.
Amen. That is just one example of what it is like to hear the voice of God. He was meant to depart at 5:55. And he said something in his spirit. There's articles on the internet. You can go and read about it. And he says he just had this urgency in his spirit to depart. That 3 minutes saved his life and hundreds of other people's lives. The same way God spoke through that pilot, he is speaking to you and I. And there's people's lives that are at the other end of that obedience. So as we practice hearing the voice of God, we need to test the source. Like I said, it's either your thoughts, it's either the devil's thoughts, or it's either the enemy's thoughts. I'll read Matthew 16, verse 22 to 23. This is only a few verses from when Jesus says to Peter, God has revealed that to you. But Peter took him in aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's point. So this is a few. So Jesus says to him, God has revealed that to you. Immediately after that, Jesus said he was going to be crucified. And then Peter speaks to him. I'm assuming it's the same conversation. And then he's like, blessed are you, Simon. God has revealed that to you to get behind me, Satan. So we need to test the source of the thoughts that are coming to us. We need to, when you have an urge to do something, check your spirit. Does that give you peace? Does that give you fear? Does it align with what the word of God says? Or it doesn't? So those are some of the tests that you can do. And if it's something that goes against what the word of God says, you know that is not from God. So when you hear a word and as you're growing, find mature people that you know are ahead of you in that walk. And people you trust and ask them, say, look, this is what I'm sensing in my spirit. This is what I think God is saying. What do you think? Could you spend time praying about it? Sometimes immediately they'll know if it's God or it's not. Or sometimes they might need time to test it as well. But once you hear something, continue asking for clarification. So for example, if God is saying start a business, it doesn't mean start a business now. The next question you could ask is, what business do you want me to start, God? And then he tells you what he wants. And then you ask him when. Because there's having a word from God, it also needs to be timed the right time. So sometimes God has spoken to us, but we've prematurely walked out. And then we say, God hasn't spoken. But God did speak, but we were just too early to step out before the right season. And then another thing you could ask is, what's the location? So you might have the name, you might have the business, you might have the timing, and then you decide, I want to start a business in Jesmond, but God wants you to do an online business. And again, you could say, God, you didn't speak to me. It's getting that clarification right to the detail. Another question I would ask would be, are there any partners I should have in this business? If yes, who are the partners that you want me to partner with? And what's the name of the business that you want me to have? And once, so whatever God is, whatever area you need God to answer right now in your life, drill down to the point where you've got everything. That the time you step out, you already know what God wants you to do. So I encourage you to schedule times in your diary when you have conversations with God. Whether it's in the morning, I find mornings work better for me because I'm still fresh, I'm not clouded. But there's sometimes I can't do morning, I have to do evening. So just find a time where you put it in your diary and be uncompromising with that time. And I ask God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to be a blessing to? What verse should I be meditating on today? And through the day, something will come my way that whatever God has spoken to me in the morning will carry me through. So we need to discipline and quieten our minds. Praying in tongues, it quietens the soul and it removes the emotions. So our voice, when it speaks, it's usually our emotions. It's usually we just act of the emotions we're feeling right now. If I'm feeling happy, I'm probably going to be more generous in giving. If I'm feeling down and flat, I'm probably going to be stingy in my giving or whatever. But it's recognizing and quietening our soul. So our soul is where our emotions and our thoughts, every that stuff is. If we learn to control that in the presence of God, we quieten that, we will hear God's voice more clearer, more louder, and beyond a shadow of a doubt that we know that God is speaking to us. So another key to actually how to hear God's voice, you need to know what your normal is. Knowing what my normal is, I will know when something is not right. So for example, have you ever walked into a place, you've left, say for example, you walked through these doors this morning. Most of us, our spirits would have just come alive because we've come into a house where we worship God. You can go somewhere else. For some of us, maybe when we walk into our workplaces, immediately you just feel down, like, oh my gosh, I'm back at work or I'm back at uni. That is actually not your emotions. You're just sensing the presence that is in that area. But how do you know that this is not you? It's when you understand what your normal is. So one of the keys to hearing the voice of God is to understand what normal feels like for you. So if I know, for example, I've walked into places where I just start to feel depressed and I've been fine. Before, I used to start rebuking. I say, depression, I rebuke you, or whatever. Spirit of anxiety, I rebuke you. Until the Holy Spirit said, that is not on you. That is a presence, that is a spirit that is in the place that you've walked into. Or it could be when you're praying for someone. You know, as soon as someone comes up, you lay your hands, you feel that. That is God speaking to whoever is praying, saying, that is what you need to pray over that person. So in our lives, the same thing. You know, when you start to pray for your family, when you start to pray for whatever, pay attention to the feelings that you start to feel in yourself as you pray for that person, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the senses as well. So just, I'll give you an example. Our spirits are so aware. My kids, they do it less now, but they would walk into our room quietly and they would just stand on my side of the bed and not move and not do anything. And I would open my eyes and I would see them. How would I know they were there? My spirit would sense their presence was there. They would be quiet trying to, you know, just climb into our bed. And like, Mom, how did you know I was here? I was like, I just knew. Or if someone stands behind you, you know, you feel it. You're like, someone, you can't see, but you're like, you can feel there's someone there. And that is how sensitive our spirits are. What you and I need to do is to train them to hear and to discern between what God is saying and what the devil is saying. So just like the five physical senses, we also have five spiritual senses. So the first one is hearing. So we hear God's voice. Our hearing, it comes through as small flash thoughts that go so quickly. They come as ideas. They come as expressions. You know, in the Bible, God spoke to Samuel through an audible voice. So sometimes it might be an audible voice. It's that sense you have of like, oh, I don't think I should be going that way today. You know, you might drive a certain way to your house every day. And then one day you're just like, I should go that way. And you're like, why should I go that way? It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through your spiritual ears. It says in John 10:27, we've already read that, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. A few weeks ago, I hadn't seen this friend of mine and I was driving from Glendale and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I haven't seen her for a while. I would love to see her. And I was going to drive past straight Newcastle Road. But as I got to Jesmond, I just got a sense to turn to Blue Gum Road. And I'm like, but I don't want to go to Blue Gum Road. There's traffic. It was a Saturday. So I'm having this conversation in my mind. But the impression didn't leave me. And I was like, oh, maybe I can just pass through the Jesmond Fruit Barn. Anyway, I went into Jesmond Fruit Barn and I saw this friend of mine. And I was like, oh my God, you just don't believe. People must have thought I was crazy. I was so excited to see her. But for me, that was affirmation that I do hear the voice of God. And that is what, as simple, like I just thought I miss her. And the Holy Spirit intervened. He knew where she was. He knew where I was. And he brought us together. So it's paying attention to those sudden thoughts that come that don't make sense to you. Like, but why would I want to do that? Let's practice and just indulge those thoughts and see where it goes. Because usually, if it's God speaking to you, there's something on the other side that he really wants to communicate to you. So there's the hearing. The second way God speaks to you is through touch, the sense of touch. In John 11:33, it reads, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, He was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. Jesus was deeply moved in the spirit or touched. So by touching things, you can feel different elements. You can feel how hard something is, how something is soft. So for me, when I'm praying for people, I usually get a heat sensation in my hand. And for me, that means the anointing of God is on me and God is ready to impart something, to heal or whatever. So when I'm about to pray, I wait. This is how God communicates. I wait till I have that sense. And before I have that sense, I keep praying. And once I have that sense, that's communication to me to say, okay, now you can start praying for that person. You can start laying your hands. So the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if only I would touch the hem of his garment. That was not a physical touch. Because if it was a physical touch, every person that touched Jesus that day would have been healed. That was a spiritual touch. So God spoke to her and said, that was an impression. It was a thought that came to her or inward. I don't know how, but it wasn't an audible voice that came from heaven say, touch the hem. It was if only. You see, there's not even 100% confidence in that. So you and I need to just start having if only moments with God. If I am hearing the voice of God, you know, there's so much grace. It's okay if you step out and you think you've heard God, but you haven't. There's grace to come. That's why I've said, surround yourself with mature people. Come to Pastor Tony. I go there and say, hey, this is what I'm sensing. And they'll say, yes, go that way. Or actually, just hold off a bit, pray about it more. Find people that, you know, that can help you make those decisions. If it was a physical touch, like I said, with that woman, the mobs that were thronging Jesus, all of them would have been healed. Like the worship we had this morning, how many of you felt the presence of God? It was so heavy, and it's still heavy in this place. Can you explain in words what you felt? Most times you can't, but your spirit knows that the presence of God was here. So you and I need to cooperate with God when he's speaking to us through the spirit. So like I said, sometimes you go into a place and it doesn't feel right. Like normally when I go to hotels, when I step in there, I always, this is something I do. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what's the presence? What's the spirit in here? And immediately I'll feel something. I always take my anointing oil when I travel and I will anoint that room. And I always declare, I say, God, whatever has happened in this room before I've come in, I cancel it out in Jesus' name. And I release the presence of God in that place. And I tell you, I have no trouble sleeping anywhere. Before I learned to do that, I would toss and turn in areas where things were just not right. So if you're tossing and turning in your house, I encourage you, get anointing oil and take command of the atmosphere and speak the presence and the anointing of God in that place. You know, God can speak to you through your emotions. So if you've gone through trauma, when you see anything that triggers your memory around that situation, that scenario, your body can begin to react in the same way you reacted when that happened. So if you've been assaulted or if you've experienced really, really bad pain. So when those feelings come up, God will be saying, you need healing from that scenario. You need healing from that situation. So I know there's some of us here today where there's certain things when you think about, you lose your natural reasoning. You just lose control. Don't allow fear or trauma to hold you back from stepping into what God has called you. People can come alongside you and we can pray with you and we can break that hold of fear or trauma that is upon you. The third sense is seeing. So the first one is hearing, which is our thoughts. The second one is feeling or touch, where you sense things, like I said, the presence of God this morning. And the third one is seeing. So the mind, our mind is the eye of the spirit. So you get little thoughts, you get little flash pictures that just come. So God speaks to us differently. Some people hear more than they see. Some people sense more than they feel. For me, I see more than I feel. So God speaks to me a lot in dreams. He will, actually, a few weeks ago, I was preparing that I knew I was going to preach today. And I had a dream. And in the dream, God said, and I know it was God, because I've just learned to know that it was God. God said to me, I want you to teach my children how to hear the voice of God. Because if they do not understand how to hear my voice, their prayer is powerless. Because if they are praying and they are not waiting on me to release back into their lives, how are they going to know that this is what the word of God has spoken? And this is the word that I'm bringing today based on that dream. So this is what, this message was birthed out of that dream. And God spoke to me through my dream. And God speaks to you through your dreams. It's the same way as, you know, when you're praying for someone and you get a prophetic word. God releases pictures to me. And it doesn't have to make sense to me. It just has to make sense to the other person. So God knows you. God knows me. In dreams as well, I know sometimes they're dream books. I'm not against dream books, but God speaks to you in a language you understand. For example, one of my friends, she hates dogs. She hates dogs. So when she dreams about dogs, to her, that's the devil. I love dogs. So when I have dogs in my dream, I know that's a good feeling. So you need to, God speaks to you in symbols and pictures that make sense to you. So you might, with dreams, don't take what this person said, this means that. It's for me. It might mean the same for you, but ask God, God, what does this mean for me? Another thing, when you in your dreams, pay attention to how you felt in your dream. If you felt joy, if you felt, you know, exhilarated, or if you felt, oh, you're feeling down. And with dreams, God is speaking, it's like forewarning. So if something happens in a dream, it does not mean it will happen. So he might show you something that's going to happen. And by him revealing that to you, he wants you to pray that thing to stop. If you think of Joseph and Pharaoh with the drought that came, God forewarned of things to come. So let's, you know, we sleep a third of our lives. Well, most people. We sleep a third of our lives. And God is supernatural, almighty. He's going to use that third to speak to us. So from tonight forward, have something next to your bed and write down the dreams that God gives you. And after you write down the dream, then ask God, what does this mean for me? And the third thing I always ask is, what do you want me to do about it? It's us practicing to hear the voice of God. Some people have open dreams. The fourth sense is smelling. God can use our sense of smell. Some of us, a few of us were at a conference earlier this year, and there was just this sweet smelling scent that descended into the place. And the person who was preaching said, can you guys smell that? And a number of people could smell that. God, you will use a sense. So when you smell something sweet, it usually, it's Holy Spirit inspired. If you smell something bad, it's usually, for me, it's God saying, there's a foul spirit here that you need to take control, that you need to take charge over. A few weeks ago, a while back, I was at a ladies' meeting, and I was just leading prayer, and all of a sudden, I just started to smell urine, like really, really strong. And it's like here, and I'm like, God, that doesn't make sense. But because I'm training myself to hear the voice of God, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? And he said to me, there's a few women that have issues with their bladder and that have issues with their urinary tract that need, and I have an anointing right now to release healing. And I just stepped out and called that. About 20 people came forward, and it came from my sense of smell. So like I said, know your normal. Does it make sense to start smelling urine in this place? No. So then you know it's not a natural smell. It's a supernatural smell. And the third sense is tasting. The same way as smell, if you taste something sweet, it's usually Holy Spirit. If you taste something foul, there's usually, it's about having that conversation with God. Saying, God, I'm smelling this. What does that mean? In Psalm 34, it says, taste and see that God is good. It's not a natural taste. How can you taste God? You know, if you really think about it, how can you taste God? So how do we activate our spiritual senses? The first thing, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. Feel what God feels. So from reading the Word, you learn more about God's character. You learn more about His personality. You know about His nature. And your spiritual senses and my spiritual senses, they become sharpened. The second thing is fasting. And fasting is coming up soon for our church. What fasting does is it silences and quietens the human, our physical senses. It's about making a statement of who's in charge. You know, when I'm hungry, actually my husband was hungry last weekend. Have you guys seen the ad? Is it the Mars Bar ad? And this monster person comes. That is how he was. He was not nice until we got food into him and he was happy. That is what fasting does. It quenches the natural senses. I do love you, my husband. So fasting, just God-led fasting is really good. There's a time when I started to fast and I was really struggling in that fast. And I was like, Holy Spirit, I'm struggling. He's like, I never asked you to fast. I was like, okay. So I did stop. And then a while later, he's like, now I want you to fast. So it's about knowing what your heart motive is, you know, when you step out to do these things. Another way to activate our spiritual senses is speaking in tongues. So when we speak in tongues, we're speaking the heavenly language of God. It says in the New Testament that we need to continually pray in tongues so that we edify our spirits. Speaking in tongues is a food for our spirits. And we do lessons in here as to why the advantages, the benefits. And if you have questions about tongues, come and see Pastor Tony or Pastor Morella. So in hearing God's voice, we need to remain humble. So when God begins to show you things, when you begin to grasp His voice, remain humble. Just because He's revealed something to me has got nothing to do with me. It's just His grace that is upon me. That is why I'm seeing. That is why I'm hearing. That's why you're seeing that you're hearing. So don't allow pride to come in and say, oh yes, I am the greatest. It's got nothing to do with you and I. It has everything to do with Him. To hear God's voice, we need to stay connected. Stay connected, like I said, reading the Word, spending time in prayer. Pay attention to your thoughts, to those spontaneous thoughts that just come and they don't make sense. You know, you have random thoughts that just drop in your mind. You're like, oh, that does not make sense. Pay attention to those thoughts and ask, God, is that you speaking? If it is, you know, then continue to have that conversation. And you need to quieten yourself so you can hear Him. The best way to practice hearing God's voice is in your own comfortable place where it's just you and God. So you make yourself comfortable. Whatever comfortable is for you, you do that. And then as you pray and read the Word, what pictures do you see? That was one of the keys for me, just as I'm reading the Word. You know, sometimes someone said, imagine yourself in the story. Imagine yourself in that time and ask to see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. It's pretty amazing. Like, I'm never bored of reading the Word now. I used to never like reading the Word. But now, because I have that conversation with God, I'm like, God, why did you do that? You know, ask God and say, why did you do that? And He will talk to you. And then you can also ask, okay, you did that many years ago, but how does that apply to me today in 2018? And He will speak to you a word that is so powerful, that is so strong. Write down the flow of pictures that come to you. So as you're praying, if you start seeing pictures, if phrases come, write it down. It doesn't have to make sense to you. So with my testimony that I shared about Put Your House in Order, that was over a period of maybe 2 years. I kept having that same conversation. kept having that same conversation, and he kept building up on it. And he would remind me when he wanted me to go back to it. So write down the flow of pictures that come to you. And one of the most normal is, know what your normal is. What is normal to you? Because when you do, you can then discern to know, okay, this is God speaking, this is the devil speaking, or this is just my thoughts because this is my normal. I'll just get the music team up. You know, the video I played at the start, he talks about the power of prayer. For you and I to walk in that authority, we need to also be hearing from God. Because God will reveal to us how to pray. So praying is not about just praying. It's about praying right. It's about praying according to how God wants you to pray. It's about praying the will of God over your life. And how do we know the will of God? Staying in the Word. You know, there's things that He has said that my children will walk this way. You know, healing is our portion. Prosperity in soul. It says, I want you to prosper in your soul. So depression is not prospering in our soul. Anxiety is not prospering in our soul.